You're listening to Indiana Reading and Information Services at WFYI Public Media. For more information, visit www.wfyi.org/IRIS.
Hello, and welcome to this week's edition of the Pet Report. I'm your host, Alice Taylor. Normally, I cover stories about pets as well as pet astrology and the dumb pet joke of the week. But this week, we're going to shake it up a bit with a very special guest that I'm super excited about. I am joined by my very longtime friend, Kirsten Vantwood, who just so happens to be the Chief Operation Officer for the Humane Society of Indianapolis, or Indy Humane as they're called today. Welcome, Kirsten. Thank you so much for coming in today to talk with me and to share your knowledge of Indy Humane with us. So can you tell me just a little bit about your journey at Indy Humane?
Well, thank you so much for inviting Indy Humane to be part of your broadcast. And I'm really excited because you and I have been friends for a long time, but we're also both big pet lovers. So we both really like to talk about animals and how they live in our communities. So I started this journey as a kid who took home every stray that I could find. I grew up working in a veterinary clinic, graduated from the veterinary technology program at Purdue University. And while I was in private practice here in Indianapolis, a dear friend of mine at the clinic said, "Oh, Noblesville needs an animal control officer." And I was like, "Oh, that sounds interesting. How hard could that be?" So I had no idea, but that started the journey almost 30 years ago.
Wow, that's amazing. And then here you are today with the same level of passion. So 30 years later, and now you're at Indy, or have been at Indy Humane for how long has it been now?
Almost 10 years.
Wow. And a lot has changed and you've accomplished a lot. In that 10 years, what would you think would be one of the biggest, or if there's more than one, biggest improvement that's at Indy Humane? Because I know they're always on the move trying to do better.
We consider ourselves the leaders in animal welfare for a number of reasons. And part of that is because we have a state-of-the-art veterinary clinic that we are able to take animals from other shelters and give them some medical opportunities that they wouldn't have otherwise. We have started an enrichment program so that when animals come in, one of the things that we do is evaluate them behaviorally because we want to give the new families an idea about whether they will be good with kids or good with the other dog that's already in the home or those sorts of things. So early on, when I started, we noticed that animals come in and they're guarding their food, for instance, and data shows that that is not something that continues once that animal is in a home just by itself or with a buddy. It's a little stressful for them when they live in a shelter with several hundred other animals, so they have a tendency to protect what's theirs. So we started an enrichment program, and we work with a number of behaviors, both cats and dogs, that we can provide a little bit of enrichment, a little bit of different training, and get those animals past their issue. Mm-hmm. And we have saved over 2,500 dogs that otherwise we would have euthanized because we just give them a little bit of extra. So we have an amazing team of cat and dog evaluators and behaviorists that can offer some enrichment to these animals. So that's one of the things that we have done that is really fantastic. And it allows us to take animals from other shelters as well that need behavioral training that they wouldn't be able to provide in their original shelter. So that's really exciting for Central Indiana. And we work closely with a lot of shelters around the state, actually. The other thing that we've spent a lot of time in at Indy Humane is changing the way the animals live in the shelter. Because being in an animal shelter, although it's better than being in the street, it's really, really stressful. And that is the number one cause of disease in an animal shelter. It's not actually a cootie that they're going to share. It's being so stressed out that they get sick.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought they came in with something and then they just spread it to the other animals, but that's not the case.
That can happen. And certainly that's why we have really strict medical procedures for vaccinations and deworming and also very strict cleaning procedures. But the number one cause of disease in an animal shelter is stress related.
Wow. So I didn't know that.
We've done a lot to enhance the living environment for these animals. So all of our cats live in open housing cat rooms so that they can actually behave like a cat, not just sitting in a stainless steel cage that's essentially a box. We have expanded. We do have a few cages for cats because some really want to be only children.
Yes.
But most of them get to live in a large environment. Dogs, we have play group activities so that they get to romp and play with other dogs and work off some of that agitation that can build up when you're stuck in a small space. We have the most fantastic volunteer staff that I've ever gotten to work with. And these dogs are walked. We log who's gotten to be out so that we know these animals are getting emotional and exercise so they're able to stay happy and healthy.
Wow, that's incredible. I knew that there was, like, I've been to the cattery there, which is pretty cool because then cats that like to get up high have places to get up high.
Mm-hmm.
There's all kinds of places for them to hide or hang out. But I didn't know you kind of essentially have a doggy daycare for the residents there, which is, when you think about it, makes such logic, you know, such sense that who wants to stay in what we, you know, equate as doggy jail when they can get out and have some exercise.
Right. And the interaction that the animals get from the behavior volunteers and the staff, we actually gain more information than if we just put a dog in a cage.
Oh, sure.
And watched it eat and sit there. So it's really, really helpful. Another thing that we're able to do is provide some foster care opportunities. If an animal has been there a long time, we can ask foster families to take those animals into their home.
Oh, I've been one of your foster
fails.
Yes,
yes.
Frank, I took her home for 30 minutes and called you and said, yeah, she's not coming back.
Yeah, we love that. We love that. And foster families are also, they have friends and relatives and neighbors that they're able to help us place animals to. So that's a really important program as well.
I love that. That's awesome. I know that the one of the things that I've always admired about Indie Humane is that your willingness to share information and your successes or whatever tips and tricks that you have with any other group. And I think that that's super important, that Indie Humane's not a standalone kind of culture, that is, we're all in this together and let's share that information in order to help anyone who's trying to help animals you're on board with, which I love. I think that's a really great mission and, like I said, culture that you guys go through. Well, let's get to some of the things about Indie Humane so our listeners can kind of find out, hey, where are you located, type of services that you have, and I'd like to start off with, like, your two different campuses. So you have one located
in the Hawville neighborhood on the near west side, just across the White River. We have, at that location, we have not only a low-cost spay-neuter clinic for the public, so we can help them
so
get their pets.
So anyone can go there.
Absolutely.
Because I take my dogs there.
Yeah, yeah. So the spay-neuter is low-cost, but we don't income-qualify people. So anybody who would like to save a few dollars on getting their pet fixed. Yeah, it really is. They're welcome to come. The goal of that clinic is to get pets fixed. We were lucky to be able to expand this opportunity to Indianapolis in 2013. So we've been at that about 5 years now. We just celebrated our fifth anniversary, and you can call the West Side Clinic. All of these phone numbers we'll go over later, but they're on our website. You can call that clinic and set up a time for your pet to be fixed. We also have a low-cost vaccine clinic at that location, so you can save some money on vaccines and dewormer and heartworm preventatives, those sorts of things. It is not a full-service clinic. It's really important that people who own pets also have a relationship with a full-service veterinarian so that if there's a serious health issue, they can find assistance for that. But for those basics, we're happy to help. And we have people who need that service because they don't really have a budget for big pet care. But we can help keep your pet happy and healthy so that they have a long life in your family. But we have a number of people who come to those clinics who just want to support the mission because all of that money goes back into our programming.
Excellent. Well, I take my dogs Dave and Finley there, and it really is a wonderful service. And not only that, you have a low cost on heartworm medication and flea medication, and I even got their little name tags so that they had their name tags along with that. So yeah, it's a wonderful service, and it's a first come first serve sort of walk in clinic, but I've never really had to wait that long. It's a really nice facility.
We have the same sort of clinic at our North Michigan Road campus, yes. And we're just really interested in helping people keep their pets healthy, happy, and identified so that if something does happen and they get through a gate or the pet sitter accidentally leaves the door ajar, pet is either wearing a tag or they have a microchip so that we can reunite you with your pet.
Well, I know that our listeners are probably, when they think of Indie Humane, they're thinking adoptions. So let's talk about adoptions and what you have. Well, first off, let's talk about if someone relinquishes a dog or a cat to Indie Humane. Are there rules? How does that work exactly?
There are some rules. The two large shelters in the city are, of course, Animal Care Services, which is on the southwest side, and Indie Humane. We're lucky to have a lot of smaller rescues as well, but these are the two largest ones, and people often think of these two when you need to relinquish an animal.
Or you find a stray and you don't know what to do.
Absolutely. We have a lot of Good Samaritans who call and do their best for a couple of days, but aren't really set up to take in a pet. So Animal Control will accept any animal during their open hours for surrender. Indie Humane is a limited admission facility, which gives us the opportunity to keep animals as long as necessary to place them. But what that does is limit the number that we can take in. And we do this on purpose because if you had to surrender a pet and somebody else comes to surrender a pet, we don't want to have to euthanize yours just because somebody else also needed our help. So we're limited admission, and we require an appointment so that we can schedule and be thoughtful about how many we can properly care for. So you can call our main number. Most of the time, you'll leave a message, and our team will call you back in the order that your message was received. We will go over the specifics about your pet, set up a time for you to surrender them. And then at that time, when they come into the shelter, we go over that information to make sure we got it all right. Your pet will receive some core vaccines and flea control, those sorts of things, get a behavior evaluation. If necessary, they'll be fixed, or any health concerns will be addressed by the medical team. And then they will go up for adoption.
Nice. Well, speaking of that, dogs that and cats that go up for adoption, what if you get a pet in that has a disability or a deformity or something that in makes it feel like they may not be adoptable?
This is one of the most fantastic things that is happening in the field in general, but certainly within our city here in Indianapolis. Back in the day, if you ended up in an animal shelter as a pet that needed a new home, you had better be good with anything that you meet behaviorally. You better be super healthy, and you better be really cute.
That's a really hard combination.
It is.
Especially if you're in a shelter, how can you always be on your best behavior?
Well, exactly. And so what we have learned over time is that they're all adoptable. And this has been interesting as an old timer in the field. You know, it used to be, that cat's 17. There's nobody who's going to want to adopt it. There are. There are people who only adopt old animals because they need extra help. So we take in animals, like I mentioned, that have some behavior concerns or certainly some medical concerns. And we're lucky enough at our facility to be able to handle both of those things. So we have animals that come in with disabilities or injuries, and no longer are they in jeopardy of losing their lives
because they're missing an eye, or we were talking before we started the program about Rocky, who was born with just his two back legs, his little miniature pincher, and he just hopped around on his back legs. And under normal circumstances, he wouldn't stand a chance in a shelter, but he was adopted immediately.
Yes.
Hopping his way through life.
Exactly. He's like a little kangaroo. So he's an example of some extreme physical disabilities. We certainly have animals who have been injured or through some disease have, injured a part of their body.
Well, you have a good story that we were just talking about earlier.
Yes, we had a beagle that was found by one of our staff members, and we named her Maybe. And when she came to us, she had an eye injury that fortunately we found out was fairly minor, and we were able to correct that with some surgery. She also had an old leg injury, which made it impossible. One of the ligaments had torn in her knee, and it made it impossible for her to use one of her legs. So in past years, we would remove that leg. And dogs do really, really well. So do cats with a missing limb.
Right.
And so we have saved a lot of lives, but lost a lot of legs over the years. Now our veterinarians at IndiHumane are able to handle some fairly minor orthopedic work. Mm-hmm. And so we were able to fix that ligament. And she stayed with a foster mom for a couple months. And now, today, actually, she's being adopted. Her
yay.
New family has met her, and they're coming to the shelter to finalize that.
Oh, so, yay. So it's not maybe anymore. Now it's yes.
Exactly.
Or
exactly.
I'm certain.
I think her new name is going to be Clementine, and we're just really excited for her family. She's a great dog, and we've gotten to learn a lot about her during her recovery.
Oh, good, good. Yeah, so then there, it's not a sight unseen kind of situation.
Right.
Yeah. Well, on adoptions, if somebody wanted to adopt, what would they go through as a process? Okay, let's just take my my fails where I have, or positives, because it's always been a good experience. Years ago, when I adopted my dog, Henry, I came in, I saw him, and then I went into a little room where I could spend some time with him by himself. And like I'm telling you, listeners, it was 5 minutes. I was like, yeah, this dog's my dog. And, then I had to put a hold and then wait and then come back and fill out some forms. How is that today?
That process has really changed. The industry in general, we used to make it really difficult for people to adopt animals because we wanted the perfect owner. And in fact,
well, how could you not? That's why I couldn't work adoptions. Like, you're not good enough.
Yeah.
But you are good enough.
We're almost all of us are good enough because, again, living in an animal shelter,
it's not good at all.
It's better than fending for yourself on the streets, but it's really stressful. It's not cozy. You spend your nights alone in a room or a cage or a run. So we've really, as an industry, started to relax and realize that people who love their pets and can keep them safe and healthy are really what we should be after. So we've quit doing home visits and background checks and, interrogations. Instead, at IndiHumane, if you come in and you're interested in adopting a pet, we would have you walk through the dog or cat rooms so that you could meet everybody. We have volunteers and staff members available to answer questions specific to the pet that you're interested in. We have you fill out an adoption application, and one of our adoption counselors has a conversation with you about what we know about the pet and what you're kind of looking for in a pet to make sure that that's a good fit. And most of the time, those adoptions happen the same day. Every once in a while, we have pets in the home or the entire family can't come. And so we may hold that animal overnight so that you can get the rest of the family or bring your dog in.
It is important that they meet the other dogs, because if that doesn't turn out well, that's pretty
bad. We don't want the resident dog or cat to be upset. But we also don't want to send home an animal that's going to be a bad fit for everybody, humans and animals that live in the home. So we do our best to make sure that we are setting families up for a positive experience, including letting them know about all of those medical issues that we may have found. We adopt out cats with diabetes and dogs with glaucoma. And, we just don't see those things as real barriers because we're able to find people willing to take on a little. Nobody's perfect, and most people don't expect a pet to be either.
Okay, so now I've adopted my dog or my cat and I get home. What type of support does IndiHumane give the new adopter and their adoptee?
That's a great question. And we do this a couple of ways at the shelter. First of all, when you're waiting to speak with the counselor, we have a small retail store, so we can help you choose food that they would be used to eating. If you need a litter box or a crate to keep them in, we sell a lot of the toys that we use in our enrichment program. So if we know a specific really hyperactive, kind of mouthy, exuberant dog does really well with these specific toys like a Kong treat or something like that, we have those available, and you can continue some of the protocol that they've been used to receiving at the shelter. So along those lines, when we have an animal that has had some behavior training while at the shelter, you can continue to be in touch with that team. So if you have difficulties, the dog is really exuberant and you're having trouble getting them to settle when you're done with a walk or something, you can contact our team via email or by phone, and we can help you through some of those things. We don't currently have a training school at the shelter any longer, but we do have a number of trainers around the city that subscribe to the positive reinforcement training that we offer our animals. All of our dogs and cats are enriched with positive reinforcement methods, so we don't do any negative training at all. And we've got a lot of trainers that are moving to that. It's a little different than trainers that you might see on TV or those sorts of things, but we can refer you to some more opportunities. And then medically, it's not uncommon for an animal to go home and a week or so later get the sneezes, or you have some diarrhea from changing food or that sort of thing. So we offer a 2-week period of time where if you have any medical concerns at all, you can contact the shelter, bring them in. The veterinary staff will examine them and send home any medications that are needed at no cost to the new family, because we just want to make sure that you're set up well and
Success, for sure.
Exactly. And it's kind of the same, you know, if you have a big project at work or you have finals the end of your semester at college and you push and push and push and you're really stressed, you go home or you have a long weekend and then your throat gets sore, you feel achy. It's the same with animals. Once they can relax and be out of that stressful situation, sometimes things will happen as they get comfortable in their new environment. Same deal. We may see some different behaviors than we saw in a shelter setting, and we're there to help the new families however we need to.
Excellent. And it's pretty common for dogs, and I don't know much about cats, at least from my experience, is that they may be housebroken, but when they come to a new home, they're probably going to have some accidents until they get used to that routine. And,
right.
And is it true that it kind of takes about 3 months to 6 months for a pet to acclimate into their new home? Or is that kind of an urban myth?
No, there is a period of time. And I think it's a little different with each animal. Certainly an older animal that's already been in a home and understands kind of what humans expect will be a little different than a puppy who doesn't know anything at all,
or
a kitten
or two,
who has no clue what a house looks like. So there is a varying period of time, but certainly when you've left a home or have never had one and you end up in a shelter where it's extremely structured and you have very limited opportunities to behave normally, and then you get in a house where you're allowed to snuggle with somebody on a couch, and you know, those are all new things. So there is an adjustment period, and we try to prepare families that what we see in the shelter setting may not be, after a few weeks or even a month, truly how that animal behaves. So we set folks up to expect some subtle changes and that sort of thing. But that's why if there are questions, we're there to help answer those.
Awesome. I love that. Support's always important, because I think that that's the key, or one of the many keys, I guess, to making sure that pet doesn't come back, that they go home and they go home to a good home for the rest of that pet's lifetime, and they're not back in the shelter because of some unforeseen or unrealistic expectations on the new owner's part.
Absolutely.
So, all right. I'm going to segue a little bit now into volunteering, because I know that there are everyone's like, oh, yes, you know, we need money. Well, of course, every organization needs money. But I think a big part of what Indy Humane does and how they run is by their volunteering and the volunteers. And you've mentioned that several times, your fabulous volunteers who do all kinds of cool things at Indy Humane. Can you tell me just a few of those that you're...
You're right, Alice. And to your point about support, it works not only from our shelter to our patrons, but also from our patrons back to the shelter. And certainly when we talk about supporting the shelter, the first thing folks think of is, oh, we're asking for money or stuff. And truly, what any animal shelter needs is support from time and treasure. And we're so grateful for the individuals and organizations that donate to us and allow us to keep our doors open. But the most significant part of the support that we get from the public is through the volunteer staff. And our volunteer staff last year logged just under 60,000 hours of time in our building.
Wow.
Our volunteer program wins the best of in the city year after year. It's a very well-run program, and we're so grateful to about 500 regular volunteers.
Wow.
And we have an online application process and a four-step training process so that we are setting folks up to be successful as they help the shelter and the shelter staff. So the really fantastic thing about this program is you can decide how you want to volunteer. If you're a cat person, we're not going to have you come in and work with big, exuberant dogs.
Yeah.
We have volunteers that assist us in every single program that our shelter administrates, from events, and we're at things like Bark in the Park and fun things like that out and about in the city, to surgery. We have folks that help us answer the door and greet patrons. We have folks that help us train.
So
we have people
of any
who do
type
laundry
of capabilities.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So if you have a disability or if you're visually impaired, there are still awesome opportunities for you to volunteer at Indy Humane and make a significant contribution.
Absolutely. People help us with the brochures that we give out. People scrub dishes and do laundry for us. It's amazing. And as a staff, a paid staff, we are hesitant to ask for a lot of extra favors. And we're finding that the volunteers have finally gotten the point to us that they're here to support anything. And so it's just amazing. Whenever we have some sort of weird little blip pop up, we're like, hey, is there a volunteer who can help us do this? And we'll have six or eight sign up to
right away
take care of
yes
something. Yeah. So it's fantastic. And it's really fun at the shelter. The volunteer staff is always very grateful for the opportunities and thank the paid staff. And the paid staff is like, no, really, we couldn't do this work without you.
Yes.
So it's like this circle of thank yous. Because
circle of life, yes.
Yes,
yeah.
We really appreciate all the work that folks put into the shelter.
So I see here that you have housekeeping hounds and feline friends.
Yes. Well, we have to stick with those cute animal names.
Yes,
but housekeeping hounds, I'll tell you, that sounds really funny, but we have volunteers who take care of 99% of all of our dirty laundry, and it's a lot every day.
Oh, I bet.
And all of our dirty dishes and litter pans. And we have folks that come in. There are specific procedures for how we clean and sanitize all of these bedding and food bowls.
And it's all ages, isn't it? It just
isn't
a bunch of retired people who have nothing else to do. But if you're a kid, you have to be a certain age. Would that be right?
Yes. We have various programs. We have a Parent and Me program for our younger children to come into the shelter with an adult. Once you're 16, you can volunteer on your own at the shelter. But we have day camps all summer.
Is that Paws and Claws?
Paws and Claws, yes.
Yes.
And we had Wags and Whiskers, which was a younger group this year. We added that. Last year, we added a teen program to our summer camp. So we have three different age groups all summer. We'll have a fall break camp for the first time in October this year. And then if that goes well, we'll be adding a spring break camp in the spring of 2019. So our camps always fill up really, really quickly, but it gives the kids in our community the chance to have some really unique interactions with pets, not just dogs and cats. All summer, we had some farm animals come in. We had some exotic animals.
Did you really?
Yeah, we have.
Did they come to stay or?
They just came to visit. We had some small mammals that lived at the shelter. We fostered for some organizations that we partner with. So we had rabbits and rats and ferrets all summer. But we had a pig that visited us and goats and chickens and things like that. So the kids get to meet a lot of different animals.
Is Indy Humane's farm?
Yeah, well, with a little help from our friends.
Yeah, for sure. I can see that. And then Feline Friends.
Feline Friends are our cat volunteer team, and they come in. It sounds wonderful to me to just get to go in and sit with cats.
I've seen them. Yes, they're wonderful. They sit on the sofa and hang out with them. And
sometimes they just read. We have volunteers that come in, read a book, sitting with a cat. They do a lot of combing and grooming so that the cats are used to that sort of thing for when they go home. We have lots of those fishing pole type toys with a little feather or something. So you see kids with their parents and everybody's fishing in a room. And so what that does is give us a little bit more insight into how these cats react to other cats and other humans in the home too. So we can tell people this cat really doesn't mind living with a bunch of other cats. So it'll be a good bet if you have resident cats already, or we have cats that like specific kinds of toys that we can share with their new family, those sorts of things. So cats need that kind of stimulation. People think of them all as very aloof. And the fact of the matter is they're just as unique as dog personalities.
Okay, I don't know much about cats, so I'm going to have to take your word for that one. Yeah. But that, yeah, unique would be it. Well, thank you for giving us more about volunteering. I think that is wonderful programs and pretty exciting. And I love the fact that Indy Humane is always changing it up and thinking of new ways to get volunteers engaged in something fun as well as rewarding. We're coming to a close here, and I would like to know, or I think our listeners would also like to know, if they were interested in taking advantage of the services at either the North Side Clinic or the West Side Clinic, how would they go about doing that?
There are a number of ways for people to contact us. If folks are interested in getting their pet fixed or coming to one of our vaccine clinics at our Hawville campus on the West Side, they can access that information on our website, which is www.indyhumane.org. Or they can call us, and if we don't have staff on duty, they can always leave us a message and we'll get back to them right away. The phone number for our West Side Clinic is 317-602-3423. And either by phone or on our website, it would give hours of operation for not only the spay-neuter portion of that clinic, but the vaccine clinic portion. So we can get you that information, again, either via our website or you can call and talk to an actual person.
And what's their address?
They are located at 456 North Holmes Avenue, which is right at the corner of Holmes and West Michigan Street.
Across from the Kroger in that little shopping plaza.
Yes.
I gotcha. Okay. You can tell because it has a huge graffitied dog and cat right on the side of the building. You can't miss it, can you?
No, we've got two giant cats and a dog on the side of the building, and it sits just off of Michigan Road or Michigan Street just a little bit. But yeah, we're in the West Side and we're really, really busy. We're helping a lot of folks get their pets fixed and preventing a lot of litters in the city.
Excellent. Excellent.
So if people want to visit us at the animal shelter and they're interested in adopting, they can come to the North Michigan Road location, which is on the northwest side, up by the pyramids.
Okay.
That address is 7929 North Michigan Road, again on the northwest side. And they can contact us via that same website, www.indyhumane.org. They can Google Humane Society of Indianapolis, or if they don't have access to a computer, they're welcome to call us at the shelter. The number at the shelter is 317-872-5650, and it will give you the option of contacting somebody by their extension. But if you type in extension 0, you'll be able to leave a message and the volunteers or the customer experience staff will be able to forward that to the right individual or department.
We're just about wrapping up here. We're coming to the end of our time, which, by the way, has flown by. It's been so fun. And just as a closing, anything that you'd like to say before we end this segment?
Well, I'm really grateful for the opportunity to get to talk about Indie Humane. I've worked in animal shelters for a very, very long time, and I love the work. And one of the things that people will mention often is that they think it would be really hard because it would be so sad. And in fact, it's not sad. 500 volunteers and 60,000 hours of volunteer time and a super compassionate, creative, intelligent staff working with all of these animals every year has got to show people what amazing work it is. And so I would just like to invite people to come walk around. If you're thinking about adoption, come and see how the animals live. Come and talk to the staff and the volunteer staff who care for them. And you'll see a lot of smiling faces and a lot of happy pets. And animal shelters are not like we all used to think they were. They're not sad, awful places. They're amazing places where animals and people get another shot at love.
I love that. That's perfect. That's exactly. And I know that Indie Humane is always filled with light. Their facility is always filled with light. It's not gloomy and all of that. So I'm just so happy that you were here today.
Thank you
so much for coming in. And listeners, I am coercing Kirsten if she will come back and give us more information about Indie Humane as the upcoming segments go, periodically as her schedules allow it.
I would love to come back. That would be wonderful.
Awesome. You know, we never close out a show without the dumb pet joke of the week. And so this is the first time I've actually got to ask somebody the dumb part and then give them the really dumb pet punchline. So here we go. Dumb pet joke of the week. What does a cat like to eat on a hot day? Would you know?
Wow, our cats live in air conditioning, so I'm not sure.
Oh, well, a mice cream cone. I can't even do the punchline right. That's so bad. You know, a mice cream cone. Yeah. That's funny. Anyway. All right. So that's it for this edition of the Pet Report. Do you have any suggestions for topics you would like me to cover on the Pet Report? Let me know by calling Iris Radio at 317-614-0404 or emailing your suggestions to iris@wfyi.org. And that wraps up another episode of the Pet Report. I am your host, Alice Taylor, along with my very special guest, Kirsten Vantwood. And as we always include my pups, Finley and Dave, we are wishing you and the pets you love a great week.
Thanks for tuning in to Iris Radio, Indiana Reading and Information Services at WFYI Public Media. Serving thousands of print-impaired Hoosiers 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.